Good Morning Football is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio. Good Morning Football podcast, or at least I think it's a podcast, because we have officially been office space. Nate Burleson, Peter Schrager, Kyle Brandt.
You ever go to a wedding, we have to sit in the spillover area by the dumpster outside? That's us. Worst table in the restaurant.
Get to a restaurant, they put you right by the window.
Yes. You mind being behind the bathroom?
The door.
We you get on the airplane, office. You're right by the bathroom.
Oh,
nice office for our podcast, and we walk over, finish our show.
It was a studio,
hours,
okay.
Ric Flair, we're all on cloud nine. It was a studio. Yeah. It was, in fact, a studio. At one point, a yoga Pilates studio. And we walk in here, and there's a sign that says, please keep quiet, and there's poster boards. And they tried to be cute and make a GMFB podcast poster board sign like I'm at a high school basketball game. It's not working. We got relegated to the pits of the building.
We got taken out of the studio. We're now in, like, essentially the lobby. But what's it like, a studio apartment where they have, like, the little changing area?
Yeah.
Like, they put up those signs.
The screen thing.
The screens. A pack and play.
I feel like we got boarding group C. You know, this is where we are. We got the crappy boarding group. Here we are. Enjoy it. Middle seat, bastard.
I'm looking at you, producer.
I guess the podcast isn't doing too well, huh, Chris?
Yeah, you had
moving
a nice week,
up.
And though I see a tan line for your sunglasses. Yeah, I'm talking to you.
Oh,
what
did
you got,
Kirk? Where did you go?
Take the mic, bud.
I got nothing.
Why are we?
Hey, Vineyard Vines, speak up.
What did we do wrong?
You guys did nothing wrong. The podcast is great. I think there's just, you know, new people coming.
Where were you at this weekend? Why do you look so cinnamon?
I was at the beach.
What beach?
Island Beach.
Who were you with?
No, our podcast must be doing just fine.
Yeah, right.
My brother, the family, wife and kids.
All right.
Yeah.
Nice.
Let's keep the families out of it, Kirk. Why'd you move us out of here? Why don't you fight for us?
You gotta talk to people way above.
Don't
me
make
for that.
Me get all sentimental.
We're Milton
and think
in
about
an office
family.
Space looking for our swing lines over here. Keep moving us around.
Let's keep the families out.
We don't even have cell phone service down here.
KB, you're crazy, man.
Nah.
Why didn't you fight for
this
us?
Is brutal.
Next week's show will be
you
a Port Authority.
We're not
okay.
happy.
Next
okay.
week's show's gonna be a Port of John.
So for everybody who's listening, we're painting this picture like we're in the basement. But
we
really,
are.
We're a few spaces down, still in the GMFB.
We're in the lobby.
Yeah. A bird just crapped on me, Nate. What do you think of that?
Is that air conditioning vent juice?
Yeah.
That just spilled on
AC
my
drippings.
My venti green iced tea isn't cold enough.
Get out of here.
I want green M&Ms.
AC juice.
Anyway, great show, great week, some great guests as always. We had amazing guests last week. How would we top that would be with one Ric Flair. Everybody have a good weekend, though, before we throw to that?
Yeah, it was a good weekend. It was just basketball and sports for me.
Yeah, great weekend, beautiful weather in New York. It's why we moved to New York, Kyle.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Did you send that text out?
Yeah, sure did.
Bam, what happened now? Here we are. It's driving rain.
Explain
it's like
the.
Get
some
degrees.
Context if you didn't see the show
outside.
On Friday.
I did a thing on Friday about everyone says, oh, once the weather turns in New York, it's Shangri-La, it's Paris, it's the best city in the world. And I said, there's always one New Yorker, who's Peter, who the second it gets to be 60 degrees will text everyone he knows, hey, man, this is why you live in New York. This is why you pay that high rent. It's make it all worth it. And it's crap. It was awful. It's so hot. I'm sweating. There's AC drippings as I'm walking down the street. There's rats. There's Chinese food that's melting in the sun. It's awful.
Kyle would rather be in California where it's
China food.
Kyle would rather be in California where it's all strip malls and chain restaurants and Target and Walmart and
Ralph's every
and
corner.
Ralph's and is everyone just, hey, how you doing? How you doing? What's up? Hey, did you see Big Bang Theory? Oh, yeah.
And
see
you have to drive those scary cars everywhere. Ooh, automobiles.
You're scared to drive.
Not scared.
Yes,
to
you
drive.
Are.
Rather not drive.
That's what was said, that
that's
you're scared
same,
to drive.
That's the same thing. No, it's triggered. Let me ask you this, though. And this is all jokes aside, because I'm a West Coaster. I'm a true West Coaster. Is my assumption that all New Yorkers are miserable about everything? Because when the weather was cold, like, I was just like, oh, it sucks. And then now that it's hot, I hear everybody saying it's too hot. So I'm just paying attention, not saying much. Listening, and I'm thinking, like, okay,
yes,
so when are you happy?
Yes.
Yeah. The answer is yes.
So what
that's
is that
why? There's
what
one
is that
week.
About?
There's one week. It's usually late April, early May.
It's
where
spring?
It becomes 75
the
degrees. The girls put on their sundresses.
Sundress
the guys
weather.
Put on their. They've been working in the CrossFit gym all winter. They're ready to go.
So sundress and romper weather is the good week.
Yep.
The one good week where you guys don't complain.
And I think we've already missed it.
All right. I'm tearing up this fugazi rundown that we have.
See ya.
You just said romper and we have to touch base.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about the romper.
You guys talk about the rompers,
oh, yeah.
You guys.
Deep dive.
What happened?
It was It was a fun idea, I thought. And I was so excited that everyone pulled together and made it happen because rompers were the story on social media last week. Male rompers. And I said, what if we can find three? We do a little fashion show. Everyone worked really hard and it was awesome. We made it happen. It was silly and fun and who cares and topical. And we ended the week on a Friday at 9 a.m. with it. And people on Twitter had some not...
Yeah. It was like 9:50, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Was like the last 10 minutes of the show, of 3 hours of TV.
What would the percentage of positive to negative be?
No, we got a couple of names. We could throw them out there.
But who
was
the
positive?
My guy
Steve Weiss that works for the NFL Network, he was bent out of shape. He was throwing some tweets out there, which I didn't even see. Schrager had told me, and then the next day I looked, and I'm like, man, he was really mad about these rompers. And I don't know if
it wasn't just Steve. I think a lot of people on Twitter, because the NFL tweeted it out. They, like, retweeted the GMFB clip. Now,
Because it was topical, silly, and it was in the
football
middle
connection.
Of May.
There was a football cam and all these guys.
It's not grown men in dresses. Like they were the male rompers. Now, we're not going to wear them, but we're going to have a little fun, though.
It was a blast.
You might wear it.
We had a good time.
I could wear it. Mine's a
suit. Ceciliano tweeted about it.
He said, I used to know you. Ed Werder was like, credibility lost. All this stuff at me. I'm fine with it because I'm confident in my abilities as a reporter.
You also knew that going into it. You're like, this is, you know, you walked out and were like, Belichick's texting me.
Out of context, you see three men in a romper and you're on the NFL Network and you're looking for your free agent news, you might be bent out of shape. But if you do that, you don't understand our show.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Our show's out of control.
It's funny, they all tweeted at Schrager. Like, I wasn't getting any.
No, they expected
it from
both of you.
You weren't getting any. It was
and
not
Kyle's
like,
the one that's like diesel and eyeliner.
Well, here's my deal. We're going to do a romper fashion show. I have to do it. If I just walk out and I'm like, yeah, it feels pretty comfortable. It's not bad, right? There's no entertainment in that. So I believe in A or an F. You know that?
You're all role-playing a little bit, right?
Do boldly what you do.
Nate was going to look good. Kyle's going to go all in no matter what it was. And I was going to play the reluctant guy.
Right.
We're acting roles as it is.
Right.
So I had our makeup designer, Lauren, do like heavy eyeliner. I had a faux hawk and I was like a German model
Euro-trash.
Named Diesel. Yes, exactly. And I walked
out.
Funny. Thank you. And I owned it. Like I tried to swing to hit the 800-foot home run. And I think I made contact.
You did.
So what?
Did.
How stupid it'd be. I got to go for it.
Of course.
Nate,
I got to go for it.
What feedback did you get, honestly?
People were joking, saying no, don't do it. One of my best friends, a black guy named Dan Bythewood, he was like, you better not do the romper or I'm going to fight you. And I was like, well, stay tuned to the show because I'm actually going to wear a romper tomorrow.
Like Dez tweeted strong stuff about, man,
Martellus
like
Bennett,
nobody
too.
Wear that. You don't do that.
Do anything you want. Do not wear a romper. Charles James, the guy who is wearing wacky socks and hard knocks, like, I will not stand for this male romper thing. It's like, very offended.
Nate, it feels racially charged to me.
Yes. Well, listen, here's the thing about...
Really?
Here's the thing
it
about...
I feel
did.
Like black Twitter
what?
Came out. Just all the results I've
seen.
Here's
the thing about black men and black men in media. There's some thought that, you know, black men in media at some point always got to wear a dress. Dave Chappelle is a guy who has stood on the table and said, you know, I don't want to be one of those guys. I don't want to be one of those guys in Hollywood that puts on this dress. And there's conflicting thoughts about it. I don't know if black Twitter or the guys that were tweeting were looking at putting on a dress and putting on a romper the same way. Like, a male romper does exist. Mm-hmm. And we were just putting it on because it's a thing to people. Now, a male romper isn't in any of our closets. But what people have to understand, like you said, Kyle, like you said, Kay and Peter, it's a morning show. Mm-hmm. We have 3 hours of time to fill. And in 3 hours, we give some of the best football conversation out there. I will say the best. I am not shy about how good our show is, but we also have fun. We are not going to shy away from issues that are very topical, that are going
it's
on, that are trendy. It's fun.
I think
so
we have an entertainment quotient on our show. I think we have to entertain as well as inform and educate, and we entertain sometimes.
And it's fun.
My Twitter timeline was positive the entire
time. Good.
I got nothing negative. I got this was the funniest thing.
It's
I'm
hilarious.
Crying. I'm late to work. Why are you late for work? Because I watched a romper fashion show. Like, I got amazing, overwhelmingly positive tweets. You guys are such champs for even doing that.
It's so fun.
It was fun.
And
it's
like,
fun.
It was awesome. So it's thank fun. You guys.
No,
for
my
doing
favorite
it.
Kind of tweets. I got the like at Kyle Brand. You crazy? Like, you crazy? You a fool? And like, I take that as a compliment in a
right.
way. Being
should.
Called a fool.
I
got
a text from a guy at an NFL front office who said, "I'm walking through the facility and I got the sound down, and all I see is you walking down a runway in a romper. What the hell is going on? LOL." So he laughed.
Yeah.
Right.
But if you take it out of context, you might be like, "What?"
Yeah. No. It was fun, man. My feedback was the same. Everybody was laughing, joking, saying, "Don't ever wear that again. You can't do it. Nate, you can wear a lot of things, but you can't wear that." But at the end, it was crying face emojis. And this is what's great
really,
about the
I got
show.
Text from my friend saying Nate can wear that.
Did you like
yeah,
it?
We got a lot of that.
I did. It's still in my dressing room.
Would you wear it?
I probably would. I don't know
where
if I am going to wear it.
Yeah, I guess where would you wear it to?
I'd wear it in the summertime,
in the
like
city.
Going to the park on a picnic with my family. Uh-huh. Just something real casual. I wouldn't
Kyle,
wear
would you wear
to
yours?
Like an event.
No, no. I mean, come on, no.
It wasn't comfortable?
It was extremely comfortable. I didn't look as good in it as Nate did, and like it's a costume to me. Yeah. I feel like I was wearing a costume.
My wife thought it was a jean shirt and jean shorts. She had no idea it was connected in the middle.
My mom thought you were wearing a jean shirt and jean shorts. She's like, Nate looks fine. Nate
denim
looks great.
Romper.
Yeah.
So I ran my marathon, and I wanted to thank you guys for like cheering me on and being supportive and awesome, and I crushed it. And today, I cannot wait because everything's done. We raised a lot of money. I get to go to the running store where the obnoxious sales girl was so, like, not demeaning, but, like,
dismissive, okay.
Of me, I'm going to go and show her my medal.
Good.
I'm doing that.
Oh my god, it'll be like Pretty Woman when you walk into the store.
I'm going to go Pretty Woman.
So you are climbing down from Mount Petty, and you are going to go show this.
Good.
No, I'm going.
I love it.
Pull my
I wish
best
I was there. Do you want
Roberts.
Me to back you up?
No, I don't. Okay, I went to a running store straight from the show sometime last week, needing last minute. I hadn't really thought about this year.
I remember this.
Do I need like a thing for like a for the iPhone in my arm? Do I get like a belt? Do I need socks? What do I need?
I get it.
Everyone eats this goo while they race. It's disgusting. I would never eat
that
it, but,
energy, yeah.
but I wanted to have it with me, right?
You're trying to make light, but get information.
Yes.
And, yeah.
So I go to a running store and I say, listen, I'm running a half marathon this weekend. It's for charity. I'm not a runner. I was so humble. I came in so humble. I was dressed from the show, so I had like hair, makeup, all this stuff. So like I kind of got that. I'm like in heels.
Who cares?
At a running store. Right. I was so humble. And the girl was not having it. It was all about respecting the distance, and I'm trying to hey, Tim, she's trying to survive a half marathon. She was so
like you're not even running a real marathon.
Yes, like I'm not taking it seriously,
like,
and then I'm not going to
going
finish.
On.
And I was super nice the whole time, and then I actually bought stuff from her, and I was checking out, and I said, you know why I'm going to finish this marathon?
Here we go.
And there's like two guys behind me, and she goes, why? And I said, because of you. And I'm going to think of you, and I'm going to come and rub it in your face when I run it.
Hey.
I did it.
And what'd she say?
And she was like, she was just white. Like, she
the customer's like, always right.
And the boys in back of me were like, oh! And they loved it. And I walked out of the store, and I thought about it.
If I'm the manager of that store, and I hear that story, that person's not coming back to work for
me. It was crazy.
I wouldn't even buy from there.
No, I would have walked out.
She ran 20 miles the week before. And I whatever and
Who
I
cares?
Could whatever
like
and,
you lost her when you said half marathon like oh, what are you doing
it was
here?
It was
that's
a wild experience
you're like Vivian that was so
I want to say big mistake
huge like you
out.
Go and you're like how much is this and she's like it's very expensive
right.
You're like that is just like that scene right? You gotta go back
I'm doing it
awesome.
Stay tuned I'll let you guys know how it goes alright on that note we did have Ric Flair which was like an incredible moment for you Kyle I know and you all of you guys grew up watching this icon
yeah it was awesome I mean we had a kind of a funny discussion today that was actually real we refer to greats and legends like he truly is an icon and across sports we see so many athletes who are obsessed with Ric Flair guys doing tons of touchdown celebrations and when he came in it was one of those we get emails about this guest is coming on. I'm like whoa, Ric Flair is not only going to be on the show, he's coming in here. And I got a little nervous and a little excited, and Ric Flair lived up to the hype. He delivered. He played the hits. You want him to do the woo, the limousines, the private jets.
He was with Connor Daly, who's an
IndyCar
driver.
Poor
Connor Daly.
Let's toss to the clip.
Good morning, football. We are live in New York City, and we have ourselves a tag team here at the table. One is an icon, the most charismatic man in sports history. The other is a second-generation racer who has won nearly every competition you can think of. Together, they joined forces for the 101st Indy 500 this Sunday. Good morning, football, to Connor Daly and the nature boy, Ric Flair.
Yeah!
Good morning! How's everybody doing?
Good, great.
I love it. Well, Ric, you know, you're not really.
I love being on camera.
You do?
Of course.
We knew that about you. You look
you know
great.
What? Something told me to leave my jewelry at home. And I'm glad
you
did.
Know what?
You're outshining me, baby.
I always come prepared.
I know you do. Show that shirt.
I'm not shining.
Let's see that shirt.
I love it.
That is incredible.
What a great shirt.
Wait.
And I brought both Hall of Fame rings, okay?
You got those too?
Both Hall of Fame
rings. Yeah.
Well, Ric, you're not really known as being in tag teams outside of the Four Horsemen.
Yep.
So how did you and Connor team up? What are you guys doing together?
Well, I've got a brilliant, genius agent that figured out that I like Indy car racing, and she got me involved with it. So I've never been. There's two big events I've never been to, the Derby I haven't been to, and I've been invited in Indy just
out of schedule, but I watch both religiously. So
that's awesome.
I'm from NASCAR country.
Yeah, know? Yeah. There you go.
Boring.
Yeah. I've never been to Indy either, but I have been to a lot of music festivals: Bonnaroo, Lollapalooza. Never to the Snake Pit at the Indy 500, and that, Rick, is where you will be. A very special honor, the master of ceremonies in the Snake Pit. That's where
we
see Diplo, Skrillex. This year we have Marshmello. There's a lot of great DJs that'll be there. We have a. Do you want, can we pull this out?
Oh, yeah. What do we got?
Connor,
what
are you presenting? They made you a belt?
We got something special for you, Rick.
Look at this.
What is this?
Is it a world premiere of this?
This is it.
Is
I don't
snake?
Know if you've seen this.
I haven't seen it, no.
Coming out. You, it's a Lucifer.
Look at
oh,
this
my
here.
God.
You've got oh, Zed God. This year. Look at Zed.
So, is that, oh, my yeah, this God. This is the official belt of the Snake Pit. We've got all the artists on it.
Oh, my obviously, God. This is mine?
This is you.
To keep?
Absolutely.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Because
I'm
going to
wear this downtown here in New York tonight.
Wow. Action Bronson, Marshmello, Zed will hit the stage this year, and you will be up there with them. Are you excited?
WWE. Yeah. Forget it.
Rick, that thing. He's going to hit Ricky the Dragon Steamboat right over the head with it. Right? Incredible.
Man, beautiful. Great. Thank
I'm
you so much.
I'm jealous right now. And match the gold you got.
I know, man.
What? These are a bunch of house music.
EDM, DJ. Yeah.
Are you into that kind of music? All these dance musics here? The Marshmallow Man? And
I'm into anything.
It will be.
Anything to get your people
I'm
going.
I'm afraid to say that I like Kid Rock and Hank Williams Jr.
No, we like that. I played in Detroit. Man, I loved it.
Oh, who doesn't,
I'm
man?
Just saying.
He's the man.
All right, now, Connor, seeing you and Rick here at the table, it's a reminder that sports can be an intergenerational thing, and it's beautiful. And your dad, actually, Derek, was a Formula One driver, an IndyCar driver. What did you take from your dad in terms of how you approach the sport and the style in which you drive?
Well, he was obviously a really good coach, and he was my manager for a while. That doesn't work out anymore, the father and son management team. But he's still there all the time, which is really cool. And you know, he was very successful. And I was like, I'm really lucky to have made it, you know, to this far. And, I mean, my fourth Indy 500, that's my home race. It's my home hometown. So I love it. I mean, it's every week. I mean, we're at this for a month. We're at the track for a month getting ready for this event. And it's awesome to be
now. There's definitely generational gap between you and yesteryear and the drivers from yesteryear. Yeah. What do you do that kind of represents your generation in prepping for this race?
Well, I go to the Snake Pit before the Indy.
Yeah, there you go.
Something that
Marshmallow. Yeah. Hashtag lit around.
Love Marshmallow. Love Zed. Love those guys. I mean, I can only like carve out 30 minutes in my schedule before the race. But I told my team like wipe the morning schedule.
Are you seriously going?
Yeah. I went last
year. How cool is that?
I went for like 28 minutes last year, and I got covered in Busch Light, and I had my helmet on and suit, and I was like, I don't. Showed up to the strategy meeting before the race, like smelling of cheap beer. But I was like, guys, I promise you, I'm ready to go.
I would have to drink a case of Bud Light to drive a car 200 miles an hour. Are you kidding me?
Now, Rick, you're from Charlotte.
Yes.
I know that. And you have caught a bit of grief for giving props and some motivational speeches, some kind words to other fan bases, like the Niners, like the Falcons, which did not go over very well on Twitter. We had Captain Munnerlin of the Panthers on the show yesterday, and he addressed that situation. Take a listen.
Hey, Ric Flair, it's Captain Munnerlin, your good old buddy. Y'all know you for a long time, went back when I was in Columbia. But, I'm kind of a little hurt that you really was rooting for the Falcons as divisional rival. You can't do that. You can't hop both sides of the fence like that. We don't like them. They don't like us. And we trying to, you know, take over this NFC South. And you jumped on their side of the fence, and we don't like that. So this year, you in for a rude awakening. Don't try to jump back over.
Yeah.
It's fine. Stay in Atlanta.
Wow. That's called styling and profiling.
Thank you, Captain. I'm planning on staying in Atlanta. And you plan on figuring out how to guard Julio Jones.
Good Lord.
Julio runs backwards faster than you can run forward, pal.
I like to say Julio.
Woo! Julio Jones, baby.
This guy stared down Sting and the Macho Man. You can get back down from Captain Munnerlin.
Yeah, there's a reason Josh Norman left town. You should leave, too.
Oh, man.
Good Lord. Who wants to play Julio twice?
Yeah, no, you're right. Julio's a beast.
Yeah, he is.
You've influenced a ton of players. You saw Munnerlin doing that at the end. How does it feel to know that so many of these guys of this generation grew up watching you, loving you? And look at Travis Kelce here. Look at Travis Kelce here as he scores a touchdown
around. Look at Kelce, who's maybe the biggest star on that Kansas City Chiefs team. He gets up. They get him up here.
Do it, Trav.
All right, let's see it, Trav. What do you got, Trav?
Young man in his 20s.
And here we go.
Getting ready.
Ready?
Here you go. Oh, he did it good.
And look, on our show, we had a guy who's got a Super Bowl ring, two of them, David Deal. Let's toss to the clip of David Deal, our first week on air, what he did here on the show.
Oh, David's great.
Swag. The Nature Boy. There he is.
Oh, okay. So, oh.
Woo! Woo! You see this thing. It is taking on.
Hey, David likes my daughter. and he makes that kind of money, so it's all right. It's a possibility.
Your daughter's doing big things.
Huge. I like him. I like, who's the other guy that likes? Kevin Love. And I like
Kevin Love's a good dude.
The kid from the Marlins that's making $325 million.
Giancarlo Stanton.
That's a big man.
He's looking her way, too. So.
Yeah, it's the size of the warlord, that guy.
A lot of pressure on her right now.
A lot of pressure, yeah.
A lot of pressure on them.
Now, your daughter's in professional wrestling.
Yeah,
if people are watching, she's a star of the WWE.
Cover of Muslim Fitness.
Congrats.
Four-time champion already in 5 years.
That's awesome.
She is so superior in the ring to anything I could ever do. It's unbelievable.
Well, listen, she's cut from that cloth.
Yeah, it makes him like the Archie Manning of professional wrestling. Yeah. You got your next generation now is doing incredible things.
Yeah, except
things.
I didn't tell my kids where to go.
Oh! I feel you on that, bro.
They went where they were told and did what they're supposed to do, okay?
You're right.
We didn't expect the Archie Manning hot take today.
How about that, right?
We'll take it.
Are you going to bring up LeVar Ball?
Yeah. What do you think about LeVar Ball? Are you wearing Big Baller Brand?
Do you have Big Baller Brand?
Too easy.
That's too easy, man.
All right. Would you wear the shoes?
There, huh?
Rick, put them in the figure four. Put them in.
Those ain't Nature Boy swag right there, those ZO2 shoes.
He told Stephen A., I'm undefeated. That's only because he hasn't run into me.
Oh! All right. Yeah, I feel you on that.
He wouldn't even say that to me.
Oh, all that right. Would pay to have a pay-per-view LeVar Ball Ric Flair matchup.
Yeah.
How about that? You know, you were about the limousine and the alligators. Yeah. Would you wear $500 basketball shoes? Are you interested in those?
Oh, I would if I wanted them, you know. But, you know, the kid is absolutely phenomenal.
He is. He's great.
But, you know, you're putting him on, to me, he's putting him in a very uncomfortable position.
Yeah, I heard
you. I've lived vicariously through my daughter a few times. I'm guilty of it.
Right.
But come on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Got to let the kid go out there and play first before you do all the talking.
Yeah, I think he puts him in a very difficult position with a lot of pressure on him.
Now, we do something on this show called Campfire Stories where I talk about things that have happened over my 11-year career. Now, I was just a good football player. You were one of the greats in the WWE world. Now, share a story with us. Well, the great. My bad. Well, I'm just trying to keep it.
I'm immortalized now. You know that, right?
You are immortalized. I know that. I'm trying to show respect. There's some other greats out there, Rick. Come on now.
Yeah, there are some other greats. But
not as great as you? Okay, all right. Fair. That is fair. My bad.
You walked right into
that. I walked right into that.
Do I have to make a promo again like from 1986? Only one.
We'll get there. We got time for that. So I like to share stories. So I want to ask you and give you the stage right now to share one of the greatest stories of being the Nature Boy.
You know, we discussed this backstage. I don't have anything that's even close to PG, much less PG-13.
I think we can do PG-13.
I guess I could tell one from last week. I've grown up now. I'm finally growing up.
Okay.
I don't know why. That's a lot of pressure on me. One of my wives one day said to me, "Why? What, are you ever going to grow up?" I said, "Why? What's wrong? Your Porsche's right one color. Want to buy another one? What do you want? A new house? I mean, why do I need to grow up? I'm happy being who I am.
Going to be a kid. You're a kid.
Yeah. Well, the WWE is still waiting for me to grow up.
It's true. Your fans are looking for it. Look, I'm still laughing. It's incredible.
Hey, I have fun. Yeah. That's what you do. I mean, you got to
look
at life.
I love your relationship with Harbaugh. You and Harbaugh are tight, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What's your, I mean, no one could get into Jim Harbaugh's world, and yet Ric Flair and Jim Harbaugh are best buddies.
Well, you know what it is? I met him. He came to see me wrestle and when he was playing for the Bears. In 1989, it came to one of my matches with Steamboat, and I met him that night.
You know, Jim and I are actually good friends as well. I promise.
Are you right?
Yeah. Jim Harbaugh.
Oh yeah,
because he was a Colts legend, right?
Yeah. So, and Jim actually was part owner of a race team, an IndyCar team, for a long time with my stepdad. Wow. So I have like an autographed Michigan helmet, a Detroit helmet, a Colts jersey.
Oh, it's the best.
And he sent me one of the most like inspirational texts I've ever received before my first Indy 500. It's like this big message. And it's so coachy, if that's a word. Yeah, but I was I screenshotted it and saved it. I was like, this is the best message I've ever received in my life. I was like,
Jim Harbaugh. Very down to earth. Very down to earth.
Will he be at the snake pit, in the snake
pit? Great question. Can we get the khakis out of the snake pit?
Don't know if Jim's going to be there with a headset on.
Will he be at the snake pit?
I don't know, man.
Can we call him right now and ask him to come?
I would. I would call him.
There he goes. All right. Rick, you mentioned the promos, and we know this, a talking and selling in wrestling is different than any other sport. It is an art form. You're the Da Vinci. So we want to do a little demonstration here. We're going to ask you and Connor both same questions in your respective sports, and we're going to see how we get different results, okay? We're going to do that. So if you wouldn't mind, Mr. Flair, joining me over here at the monitor, I'll be the main gene, and these guys can handle Connor.
Okay.
I'll go right here.
Okay. All right.
Kyle's favorite.
So we're going to alternate a little bit. That's what we're doing, KB. We're going
absolutely
to alternate a
absolutely
bit.
Go ahead, you guys go and handle that part.
Okay, so I'll go first here. Okay, ready? Hey, Connor, how confident are you that Sunday will be the best race of your career?
Well, you have to be confident. I mean, we had a really good day of final practice just yesterday, actually, which was good for us because we've had the tough month. But I'm excited. I mean, there's a lot of guys starting kind of all over the field that have a shot at it. So I think we're confident. But it's 33 of the best guys in the world. So it's really, really tough no matter what.
All right, Kyle, why don't you ask Ric Flair that question?
Good morning, wrestling fans. Me and Gene Okerlund here coming to you live from Knickerbocker Arena in Albany, New York. And I'm standing with the Nature Boy, Ric Flair. Nature Boy, 30 men go into the Royal Rumble. What makes you think you'll be the last man standing?
Because I'm styling and profiling. Look at it, only I can look. Woo, I'm a limousine riding, jet flying, kid stealing, wielding, son of a gun. That has told every woman in the last 24 hours in New York City where I'm staying and what time it is.
Back to you guys at the table, Connor.
I'm next. Over here with Connor.
I'm leaving.
So Scott Dixon won the pole in Formula One star Fernando Alonso, favored by some to take the checkered flag there. How do you beat that kind of competition?
Well, let me tell you how. No, Scott is very fast, incredible speed, but we were running with him yesterday, so I felt pretty confident about that. Fernando Alonso, very good, two-time world champion. He is going to be really hard to beat as well, but it's his first IndyCar race, so he's got a little bit of an experience.
Yeah.
But I hope we can beat both of them because that is the goal.
Good answer.
Let's
humble answer.
Kyle, thank you. Who's alongside Ric Flair.
Nature Boy, how do you stand up to the challenge of Jake the Snake Roberts, Greg the Hammer Valentine, and the immortal Hulk Hogan, who will be looking to toss you over the top rope and out of the squared circle?
Well, unfortunately, that's never happened. I love all of them, but hey, there's only one Ric Flair. Rick, looking as only I can look, styling and profiling, custom made from head to toe. How many more lines you want? Woo! Hulkster, come and get me, Thunder. Come on, man.
Back to you at the table, guys.
All right. Great answer. All right. Well, it's on you, Connor. What message? This is very simple. What message do you have to the other drivers out there?
Well, I'd like to say that they're all going to lose.
Yeah.
I like this.
That's a little Ric Flair out of you right there.
Let's go.
There's only one champion this year, and it's going to be me.
Yeah! That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah!
Huh?
Yeah!
Hey, you're rubbing off on me.
I like
33 car dinner, one drives out, baby.
Yeah!
One winner.
Now, one winner.
What is Ric Flair's...
And I'll be at the finish line waiting on you, man.
Yeah, with cold beers, I hope.
Such a class.
What is Ric Flair's final message to anyone getting into the ring with the most electrifying man in sports entertainment?
Dare to dream. Woo! Do not be afraid to live the legend, okay? There's only one. Styling and profiling and making every woman in the world go, woo, 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 woo. Woo!
Wow! That's about as good as it gets. Ric Flair, thank you so much, sir. Connor, thank you. All the best with the race. The 101st Indy 500 is this Sunday, May 28th on ABC.
Forget it, buddy.
We'll be back with more Good Morning Football right after this. Ric Flair, the greatest. Connor, thank you.
Connor, I got you.
Amazing.
All right, so that's Ric Flair.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
Listen,
to
take everybody listening behind the scenes of today, there was a moment where Ric Flair was coming up. We go to commercial break. Kyle, you jump up off your seat. You hustle upstairs to where he's getting makeup, and you run back down. So we're all anticipating what happened up there. What is he like? So we're asking questions. You know, is he ready? What's going on? And for us that are familiar with Ric Flair, if you go to meet him, I don't care if he's 31 or 71, you want to get the Ric Flair. So you came down and you said something interesting. You're like, oh, he's up there. He's calm. Mm-hmm. You know, not that he's up there going, woo, woo, which is what we kind of want.
Yeah.
So we're waiting, and now I'm hesitantly looking forward to how he's going to respond.
I thought we were going to get like a pensive version of
Ric Flair. And I almost felt that way because he's standing behind the glass and he's chilling, not saying anything. And I'm like, what version of Ric Flair are we getting? Is he asleep? Is he tired? Does he really party? Did some ladies last night go woo, woo, woo? And then he gets on the set and the lights come on.
It's 11.
And the show starts, which reminded me of the old WWE days. It's like those bright lights, the music starts, he runs down and gets in the ring, and then he puts on the actual character. That was impressive to me.
I walked into the green room, and it's like I went on a special mission. I don't do that. Leave the set to go see the guest. And I had this vision where the second I opened the green room, he'd be holding court, and he'd be in the corner telling stories.
He's got a robe on.
He's got a robe and the sunglasses and the blow-dried hair.
I thought the same thing.
And it wasn't. And I couldn't even find him. He was in the corner just sitting down, like getting his makeup done, like very low-key. And I went up and talked to him. I was so excited to have you on the show. Very low-key. So I was a little nervous because we wanted the Nature Boy on the air. And I came back, I said, I don't know, like, we'll see how it goes. Yeah.
Well, we heard most of that because your mic was on.
Who was that?
I don't know.
Tom. Tom.
Audio guy leaves Kyle's mic on while he's talking to Ric Flair doing small talk backstage.
Some of the things that we talk about in commercial breaks and off air, I was so glad you didn't say anything.
Of all the things I could have said.
All we hear was Kyle saying, such a pleasure to meet you, man.
I know, right? Real inside the weeds here, our audio Tom has just quit smoking cold turkey after years and years, so I don't know if he's running on maximum capability. But Tom, that's
He dropped the cigarette and he dropped the ball on that one, so...
But something.
No, I'm joking. Tom's the best.
Switch he's flipped. We had our bump and we said, hey, we'll be right back with Ric Flair, and he turned it on.
Yeah,
it was
because we had this set we were going to do. Okay, basically, I'm like, let's get him up. Let's get him off the desk in a stand up with me and Gene doing his Ric Flair thing. And it was a risk because if either he didn't feel like doing it, like, look, I'm a 60 something year old man, I'm not doing that stuff anymore, or maybe just didn't have the energy anymore, it falls really flat on live TV and it's just kind of embarrassing.
Or if
and
he repeats himself. Like, I was looking at him like, is he going to say the same thing? But he was firing
he's got his
him out
material.
There.
Dude, he nailed it.
So the thing,
Captain Munderland was the best thing.
You heard
that's
it on the
happened.
Podcast
awesome.
Now.
All
so
right, yes.
Basically, Kay is like, all right, Munderland's coming on, Panthers,
yesterday.
He's got to know Ric Flair, whatever. So Munderland says it and he does kind of take a dig at Ric Flair. And I remember saying it in real time, being like, I don't think Ric Flair's going to respond too kindly to that.
Munderland was keeping it real. Like, he was playing around. Like, it was a
day in Atlanta. Don't even think about coming back.
And we put him on the spot.
But
like,
how
Munderland
good Flair said?
Ric Flair went hard. He was like, not just at Munderland, but at the whole Panthers organization.
Pretty much at Munderland.
Yeah.
Like, you're a loser.
He said, Julio Jones can backpedal fast and you can run full.
Yeah.
But he was, like, disgusted that Captain Munderland
wouldn't
even say his name.
Right.
He brought
amazing.
It up at the end when you talked to him, too.
Yeah. You're right. He went back to
he
it
said,
when he was
Josh Norman got out of town. You should do the same. He was taking shots. But let me ask you guys a question, though. Best trash talker across any sport? We just had Ric
Gary
Flair.
Payton.
Oh.
Gary Payton.
You know,
good.
I like
I'd
that.
I'd have Gary Payton on every day if he wanted to
you
come
You want
on.
Chuck Person, Peter?
A rifleman.
What say you? Any sport now. Now, Ric Flair has to be up there. I think he's in everybody's top 10, maybe top 5.
Yeah.
Steve Smith.
Steve Smith's awesome.
Steve Smith is good. And not just trash. I mean showmanship, too. You can put anybody. Out there.
I used to really like Gilbert Arenas. Like he would say some
Agent Zero Hibachi?
He would say he'd score 80 Hibachi. On Duke and but then he kinda went off the deep end on social media. He's crazy
he's
now.
He's crazy.
But Hibachi was amazing.
There's Sam Cassell with
he
the,
would
with the
would take a shot and turn around. You remember Gilbert Arenas?
Was there any baseball player that ever did trash talking?
Bryce
know.
Harper was like a big thing because he came in with like but
he kissed at the pitcher once like that and then people wanted to throw at him. But
what was the relief pitcher
base.
on the San Francisco Giants, Taylor? With the black, and he had the, it was like a little brief
the Yankees
thing.
Back in the late 80s.
Well, you're not talking about, for
not
sure.
Not Taylor
you're,
recently.
You're talking about.
With the beard?
Brian Murphy?
No, Brian Wilson.
Brian Wilson. Lying in bed.
He had something
what
weird.
About the Yankees in the 80s and 90s?
They weren't trash talk. They were all class.
They were just trashed.
They were turned up. I would say Muhammad Ali. One of the best trash talking showmen.
You referenced Ali today in comparison to Flair.
Yeah,
I love that. The sports historian.
Because
I love
they were so scripted in what they did, but they always delivered it beautifully. I would give Muhammad Ali the edge because he had more variety. Ric Flair, like you said, he got the bag. He goes right in that bag and pulls out what we've been listening to for years.
If somebody tweeted right now, like an athlete, and originally was like, float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. It'd be so weak, though.
It'd be so weak.
But in the 60s, the man who was talking like that, was
he
nuts.
Was writing songs and just delivering a cappella.
If somebody tweeted it, it'd be one thing. But if somebody said that and it came off the dome like that, float like that
like
line.
Like in an interview?
Yeah, no, you're right, Kate.
Like,
you're
that's
damn
a
right
that's
that.
A, that
crazy
is a
line to think
crazy
of.
Line to come up with.
No, you're right. Like
I guess
a running back.
If they did it live. Like,
answering
like,
a question.
Like a running back after the game, you just won a Super Bowl. He's like, man, I float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. You're like,
and he'd be talking about how ugly like Joe Frazier was.
Your hands can't hit what your eyes can't see.
I don't know that I've ever asked you who the worst, best, I guess, trash talker was when you played.
That I went up against?
Yeah.
I know it wasn't Fred Smoot. Fred Smoot would talk, though.
Yeah, he played with me. You know, cornerbacks never really talked a lot of trash, and that's I think it's mostly because I always played with a number one that was torching their number one, and I took joy out of torching their number twos and threes. For me, it was linebackers. Linebackers talked the most trash, but back when I came in, before some of the rule changes, they could hit you. If you were standing within 7 yards.
Give us a name here. Who we got?
Well, Ray Lewis, Brian Dawkins, he was a safety, though.
They would talk?
Yeah, they had the black visors. You couldn't see their eyes, okay? Face masks looking like something out of Mad Max. Veins popping out everywhere like they just did 1,000 push-ups in the locker room. And you could just see, like, foam underneath the face mask. And these guys were aggressive. Brian Dawkins had this, like, hammer he would do. He'd come down on you after he made a hit, and he's doing it, like, right next to you.
Weapon
like, he's
X.
shaking the earth. And Ray Lewis would hit you, and he'd start doing his little shimmy, shimmy dance. So, for me, it was always the linebackers and safeties. Cornerbacks, they didn't talk much because cornerbacks got beat more than they made plays.
Right.
So, if you talk trash, yeah, I'm going to win careful. At the end of the day.
Yeah.
Safeties, they rarely saw you and rarely hit you. Linebackers rarely saw you and rarely hit you. So, if they got one on you, they could talk trash and leave it alone. Brian Urlacher is a guy that I got into it quite a bit. He didn't like the dancing. You know, he was kind of the straight and narrow guy.
No visor there.
Yeah, no visor there. You can look straight into his eyes. You talk a little bit, and he wouldn't talk at all. Straight talk with his pads. And I remember one specific game, I ran a bubble route. It kind of bobbled out my hands. I should have caught it. And he gets up, and he looks at me as he's, like, closing out. So he didn't tackle me. Plays over. So already blown. Dead. I'm walking back to the huddle. He was like, "Where's all that dancing now, Burleson? Where's all that damn dancing?" And I look up, and for a second, I'm like, who is that talking to me crazy? And it's Urlacher. So for a split second, I had to ask myself, do I want these problems? And as a man, I had to say
something
back.
When keeping it real goes wrong.
So what do you say back?
I was like, okay, that's what you want to do? You want to do this all game? That dance is coming right up, and I'm coming after you. And I'm thinking, like, why'd you say that to Urlacher? Damn, that's stupid. And then I catch a ball. I shake up their corner. I'm going out of bounds, and as I'm going out of bounds, I realize I'm tap-toeing on the sideline.
Look out.
My heel hits. Urlacher's in the middle of the field guarding the tight end. My heel hits. I hear the whistle, so I know the play's over. I beeline to Urlacher just so I could talk trash. I'm like, your corner can't even stop me, and I'm coming at you next because I want the last word. Like, now I'm mad. I can't think about it. How dare he talk about my dance? And I dropped the damn ball.
This is why flag football in Linden,
New Jersey,
goes down the way it does,
and
ladies and gentlemen.
All game, he's barking at me, trying to get a lick on me. And all game, I'm catching plays, talking trash. It was ugly. And at one point, I thought I hated him, and I thought he hated me. And we had a moment where
– just had a moment on our show when you guys, like, made good.
Yeah.
You got injured.
We had a moment. I got injured, and I got up, and everybody's saying, you know, Nate, you're going to be all right. And these are all my teammates. And I hear a voice from across the line of scrimmage, and he says, "Hey, Burleson, let him help you off the field. I know you're tough." And I look over, and it's him, and I'm like, oh, damn. Like, literally made me want to cry because it's, like, the first positive thing he said to me. And then a game later – we kind of connect on a blocking play, and his mother had just passed, and I stopped and I paused and I said, "Hey man, I'm sorry to hear about your mom." And he was like, "Thanks, man. Means a lot coming from you." And that was it.
That happens in the middle of the game, not during warm ups or after.
It was like the one turnaround in a relationship that, like, it helped me understand, like, the gravity of relationships in football. Because oftentimes you hate a guy and you always hate a guy. You know, I was talking to MJD. MJD said he would get into it with guys on the field, and he would want to fight them in offseason. And that's how most players feel. Like, you're just like, what's going to happen if I ever run into this dude in Vegas? Like, and I'm out, and I'm drinking with my boys. It's the same dude that's talking about my mom or, you know, whatever.
So can you
know?
Separate that?
I found a way to separate it when that turnaround with Urlacher happened. I felt like there's things that can bring us closer together and these words that can divide us that are so stupid. So stupid.
Wow.
Strong.
Anyone? Anyone to follow? Any Urlacher stories, gentlemen?
No, that's good.
Urlacher story.
Yeah, I told my Urlacher story on Mother's Day. My mom used to run him at the grocery store, and one time I went and he was there, and I can't follow up.
What did he say?
He gave Georgia a hug.
He said, "Hey, Georgia." He knew my mom's name at the Dominick's in Lake Forest. I turned around, and there he is, and he gave Georgia a hug. I told the Mother's Day story.
And you're like, "Mom, my mom
really
does know.
You actually know Brian? You've been telling me when I'm away in L.A.?
So, this is the Brian. New organic bananas are on sale. You told me about them last week.
Incredible.
Go get them. Go crazy.
Urlacher's an awesome guy. I know you've hung with Urlacher.
Yeah, I was at his wedding.
At his wedding?
Yeah.
Where was that, New Mexico?
No, Palm Springs. He's a good friend. He's the man.
Cool.
It's a good
one
day,
of our
man.
First guests
played the game
on
the right
show.
Way.
Did.
I hate the way it ended in Chicago.
Good story.
It's interesting. He's up for Hall of Fame induction this coming year, and the class is him, Randy Moss, Ray Lewis, Rondé Barber. I believe one other guy that's like worthy of it. And I don't know if Brian's first ballot. I think he should be. I would vote for him. Obviously, I'm biased. He's a friend. But I'm not sure they're going to put more than two of those guys in.
Yeah. It's really? All in play now, man. I saw Tim Brown on Total Access last night. He said he doesn't think Randy's going to get in on the first ballot.
Yeah.
Because of the T.O. thing. And
what?
Yeah. Tim Brown was
you
talking
think
about
he's
that.
He's got to wait till T.O. gets in before he gets in?
Tim Brown's thing was like.
Tim Brown waited.
I know. And Tim Brown says nobody's Jerry Rice. No one's ever going to be Jerry Rice. I think the fact that T.O. waited.
Chris
I think
Carter
Randy's
waited.
Wait. Yeah. I know. Everybody waits except for Jerry Rice. So
T.O.'s numbers
already
are better than all those guys.
Yes. It's crazy. Including Randy's.
Crazy. I'll say this, and maybe we can save this for the podcast next week or even a segment on the show. I think it'd be really good for us to talk about mentioning Urlacher in a conversation we had in the dressing room before we walked over here about Calvin Johnson and him talking about the Lions and their relationship and how there's some disdain there. And then Urlacher, I said when you started talking about how close a friend he is, I hate the way it ended in Chicago. Yep. We should have a segment or a conversation, whether it's on the show or the podcast, about bad relationships at the end of players' careers that we thought were great.
I'll give you another one. That's
about greats, though. Yeah. Urlacher was a bear.
Hey,
great.
An icon, yeah.
There's one that's Calvin not well, well publicized that we heard about that Lance Moore kind of referenced off camera. I don't know if he was, but he said, was it Lance Moore or someone saying, hey, Polamalu didn't end on the best terms with the Steelers even?
That's a great conversation. I think it needs to be had.
Ray Allen with the Celtics.
Right? Because these teams, they get greedy and they want to kick these guys out. Hey, take a pay cut or retire, bro. And for a guy who gave everything to you.
It wasn't Lance Moore. It was someone else.
It was another.
Oh, was that Willie Colon?
It was Willie Colon. Yeah. He said he didn't give any details. He said, I'm not sure it ended on the best terms.
Yeah.
So great conversation. We should definitely have that discussion also. I would also really like to revisit with Kyle at the table. And unfortunately, we won't be able to have Sam Walker, who was on our show today. Mm. But like the whole leadership conversation,
oh my
we
God.
Should
was
have
that cool?
again.
Yeah.
It was really great, and everyone should pick up his book. I certainly am going to. The Captain Class. He studied and broke down the 16 best teams
dynasties in
sports
yeah.
like 96
All
Bulls
Blacks.
Didn't make it.
Oh wow,
they weren't
that,
dominant
that says enough,
enough
right there
we're
to make you want to read
he had
it.
Eight criteria. I'm sure longevity, dominance, all those things played like Patriots were in it. That's
really?
Pretty much it. Studied why they were so good and all came down to right. leadership,
the common
a singular
thread.
Captain there's always so
was
one
it like,
guy.
The
like
Red
it starts
Auerbach
and ends with
Red
a Tom Brady
like Bill Russell right. was the
wow.
glue
and he said the dynasty starts and ends
with the
that
guy's
captain
and the 90s Bulls with Jordan didn't make it. I'm already fascinated.
He said Celtics were a better dynasty. Yeah. So if you look at it, Bill Russell was the glue, and there's all these other changing pieces. Brady, he's the one piece. Everything yeah. can move around him. If you
so
have that one
a wide
guy,
receiver can't be right. the
like
captain.
Duncan. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wide
wow, that's awesome.
Can't do it.
That sounds
he
like
talked
a fun
about the characteristics of a leader and what makes him a good leader versus other leaders. Teams that have captains, but they don't have
well,
the right leader.
He also said that you can
guys
learn.
Can push it to the edge. Like Brady, the deflating the football thing, like whether it happened or not, is completely symbolic of his leadership. He would be willing to do whatever
anything.
It takes.
He yeah. said it's a common thread between leaders always trying to bend the rules to do whatever it takes to win.
He had a great comparison about Tom Brady and Peyton Manning, right, where he said Tom Brady once did a credit card commercial or some commercial where
yeah.
the offensive line, there was something with offensive line.
I remember they were at a restaurant.
He brought his own offensive line.
And
he said
he
I don't want to take all the spotlight. Any talking lines, let them do.
Yep.
Peyton Manning did the same sort of
with
commercial.
With an offensive line.
And they had hired actors, and I don't think that even occurred to – not that it's yeah. a fault to Peyton Manning. They hired actors. I'm here to do my right. job. I'm getting paid, and I'm doing this, and I'm a great yeah. cerebral – you know, I'm a great person. I think sure. No knock on Peyton,
right.
but that Tom had that in his head to do. That's
he
a
said
leadership.
The great leaders.
But those
linemen, really
those Patriots
cool.
linemen, if they were like, look, I know Tom could do anyone commercial wants. In fact, I'm going to be in it.
Right.
I'm going to get paid for it, and he wants me in it. Like, you would die to block for him. Like, no,
that's
no
it.
One's touching
look
my
Look at the derby. That's all.
That's
who
it.
You think's fit in the bill for the derby?
That's the ultimate team above self. And that's what he's saying. The common thread is team above self and guys that are ultimately more
he
passionate.
Jack
than
Lambert
else.
Wasn't a big
so,
talker.
So fascinating.
Wasn't
man.
His thing, but like he would go at it with management. He would question the Rooneys and he would always push it to. And he's like, it wasn't Bradshaw. It wasn't Rocky Blyer. It was Lambert because he was the voice of the rest of the guys. The bottom guy on the roster had a voice in Lambert. Mm. He would come and challenge.
My only gripe is that I would argue that the Bulls should be on there.
Yeah.
Jordan.
You have to see the other teams.
Jordan
though.
Made, he made normal yeah. guys household names. Like, I wouldn't know who Steve Kerr was.
B.J. Armstrong.
B.J. Armstrong. Craig Hodges.
I think so.
Bill Cartwright.
They had the weird thing when he left in the middle of it. You know, like he was gone for two seasons.
Pippen,
which is a strange
Pippen
thing
stepped
to do.
Up.
Pippen stepped up. But that's the question. Was Jordan the leader or was Jordan just the lead dog?
So it's called, it just was released a couple of weeks ago. It's called The Captain Class by Sam Walker. He also he's at Wall Street Journal.
Yeah. He used to be in the sports pages. Now he's like, I don't know what his role is. I think he's like upper management.
Leader or lead dog.
So I'm going to read this book as part of a book club for June. If you guys want to join
me. Let's do it.
Pick it up and do it. Who wants to do it?
Captain Cloud. I'm in. I want to read it. We have a couple weeks off. I like this stuff.
I got a couple books I'm reading.
It feels like a self-help type book also.
But still,
I'm reading Outliers right now.
Because his whole thing at the end was pretty good. The whole thing was that you can be a leader, like that you can learn.
Everybody can have.
I was like, is it born and innate? And he said, no, that these are things that you can sort
like
of
learn behaviors, right?
It develops. So yeah, so let's do that for our book club for June that we just
Rick
started
Flair.
Here.
One more time, Kate. One more time. What's it called?
It's called the Captain Class by Sam Walker.
All right, I'm in.
All right, we will see you guys next week. Order those books and let's do this thing. Bye.